When I look at my life and what I've been given, my family and friends, all the blessings from heaven, the Father above has lovingly showered on me. I feel overwhelmed and so undeserving to think of His goodness and wonderful mercy. My heart fills with praise and I can't help but joyfully sing.
I have God's name for everything, the battles I've fought and the victories I've seen.
It's not that this road has always been easy, but He's been faithful and He'll never leave me. I find sweet peace and assurance within His Word. My cup's overflowing, I'm living in favor, abundant provision from the hand of a Savior. I lift my voice and forever I'll praise His name.
I have God's name for everything, the battles I've fought and the victories I've seen. He has won, let me hear along the way. But most of all, He saved my soul. He promised me heaven. I'm ready to go. I have God's name and forever.
When I look at the heavens and all your handiwork, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I see what you created way back there at the first and say, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
I think of your mercy revealed to sinful man. I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I wonder what would cause you to put us in your plan. I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. When I survey my blessings, the strength of all my days, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth. I give you all my worship, I give you all my praise, I say, how excellent is your name in all the earth.
Oh Lord, I mourn, how excellent is your name. How excellent is your name in all the earth.
Ephesians, of course, in the New Testament, one of the epistles. And I remember somebody said a long time ago, he was talking about the epistles. When I was a little kid, they was talking about the epistles. Brother Harold, I didn't know what an epistle was. I thought the epistle might have been married to the apostle, but we know now that that's not what that was. That epistle was a letter that was penned down. And, of course, this letter was penned down to the church in Ephesus. Now, the supernatural agent was the Holy Spirit of God. The human pen man was the Apostle Paul, probably the greatest Christian that ever lived. And we think about the churches that he started and planted and all the things that he did. And he had a great love for the church in Ephesus. Of course, there's a great account of that in Acts chapter number 20 as he addressed the elders of the church there in Ephesus. He had a lot to say unto the church. And God has a lot to say to us today. And again, we say Happy Mother's Day to our moms. And this is not a traditional Mother's Day message, but this is where God has placed our heart. I would say this, we don't appreciate our mothers enough. Really don't, but all of our mothers, now you've got to go out the back door. We do have a gift for all of our Mother's Day, but you got to go out the back door. If you go out one of these doors, you're not going to get gifts. So you got to come out that back door, and you got to shake my hand, whether you like me or not. You got to shake my hand. At the end, my wife will be, and several others will be handing you a gift as you leave to all of our mothers. But we appreciate our moms. Somebody said a long time ago, Brother Harold, a man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. That's about right, ain't it? A man's work is from sun to sun, but a mother's work is never done. I think about my mom, and I think about Miss Christian. I see her, how she has labored, and of course with Garrett, and of course even extra with Gracie, and I see the sacrifice and the investment that she makes day in and day out. And we appreciate our moms, and hope you appreciate your moms, hope you appreciate your wives. And you know, you never know, this might be the last Mother's Day we have together. Do you know that? Something to think about. And you might be taken out of here. Your mom may be taken out of here. It may be the last time you have here on planet Earth to share with your mom. So you better make the most of it. And that's what I'll move on after that. But I want you to notice here in Ephesians chapter number 6. Of course, I have preached multiple messages, but I've never preached what I'm getting ready to lay out to you this morning. In Ephesians chapter number 6, of course, we would call this the whole armor of God chapter of the Bible. If you want to know how to arm yourself. And I'm pro-Second Amendment. Amen. Thank God. Charlton Heston said a long time ago,
It's better to have a gun and not need it than to need a gun and not have it. And thank you for the protection that we have. But you know what? I'm thankful for the protection that we have from the Lord God of heaven. And He gives us several things, but it's our responsibility to put it on. I'm not going to preach all the way through this, but it's important for you to gather the context, so I'm going to read it. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 10 of Ephesians chapter number 6. If you found your place, if you're able to, if you would stand with us in honor and reverence to the reading of the Word of God. If you're unable to stand, you just remain seated where you are. Again, you're not standing to reverence me, but we are standing to reverence God's Word. I'm glad it's holy, undefiled, and without error. God's got something for me. He's got something for you today if we'll listen to what God has to say. But notice in Ephesians chapter number 6, in verse number 10, He said, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, He said to put it all on. You know, you can't just put on one piece and forget about the rest. He said, you got to put on the whole armor of God, but it's our responsibility. I was weed eating yesterday and had those glasses and I always put them on because I usually make two or three visits to the eye doctor and they dig stuff out about every year. But I'm trying to be proactive with that, Brother Evan. I wear those glasses and I had two or three pairs of glasses in my truck, but it was up to me, Brother Rodney, to put them on. If I didn't put them on, I didn't have any protection. If we want protection from the enemy, it's our responsibility to put it on. I can't put it on Brother Harold. Brother Harold can't put it on Brother John. You got to put it on yourself. That's what God said, to put on the whole armor of God. But look at verse number 12. "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God." There it is again. "That ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." Then verse number 17 of Ephesians 6 says this, "And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Now let's pray. Father, as we bow in your presence, God, again this morning, saying thank you that your name sure is excellent. I thank you for your goodness. I thank you for your love, mercy, and your grace. God, we thank you for our moms, our wives. Thank you for the impact they have made in our lives in time gone by. And Lord, even today and in the days to come, we thank you for our mothers. God, help them to have a great, wonderful day today. Thank you for this crowd that's here on this Mother's Day Sunday. I pray, God, you'd bless them for their efforts. Lord, as we approach the Word of God, I pray that you'd help me to decrease now that Jesus may be increased and lifted up. Lord, I confess publicly that I'm nothing. You are everything. Help this feeble preacher, Lord, to empty me of the message you placed upon our hearts. Save some precious soul that may be amongst us today. Help the saint of God that may be struggling. We'll be careful to give you thanks and give you praise for what you do. We ask these things in Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. We've read this text out of Ephesians chapter number 6 from verse number 10 down through verse number 18. And of course, the subject being there of putting on the whole armor of God. He gives multiple things that we need. First thing he started with was to have our loins girt about with truth. And around the midsection, that was what would hold everything together. And truth is what holds everything together. I understand the culture and the society in which we live today. A lot of folks don't like absolutes, but listen, truth is essential. And you better hang on that truth, because truth is what holds everything together in this life. But then he said to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Now that breastplate would certainly protect your vital organs, such as your heart and your lungs. And listen, you've got to protect that. So he lays out, then he talks about in verse number 15, have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, our feet gives us stability and sure-footedness. You take your feet away and you don't have the strength. You don't have that stability. You don't have that sure-footedness. The best way that I've ever been able to describe that is this. If you get down on your knees and you get into a wrestling match or into a fight with somebody, Brother House, somebody's going to beat you to death if they've got their legs and you don't have your legs. But our legs give us stability. But notice he said to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm glad there's stability and there's sure-footedness. Footedness and their strength in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that gospel be the death and the burial and the resurrection of our Savior over 2,000 years ago. Listen, friend, I'm glad he didn't die for his sin, but he died for my sin and your sin. and the sin of the whole world. And they placed him in that barred tomb of Joseph of Arimathea for about 3 days. It was called a barred tomb because he didn't eat it just for 3 days. But thank God, hallelujah to the Lord. On that Lord's day, the third day morning, he rose again, never to die again. And that gospel, we ought to have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We live in a world where news comes, Brother Harold, and it rocks even some of God's people. It ought not rock us. We shouldn't be surprised. We shouldn't be disturbed. We shouldn't be discouraged, man. When you look to our future as a child of God, we're going to a place called heaven. Abraham saw afar off whose builder and maker was God. It wasn't made with human hands, but I'm glad we're going to a place that Jesus said in John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He said, I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. I'm glad heaven is a prepared place for prepared people, and it'll help us get through this thing called life when we have our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So he talks about having our loins girded about with truth, breastplate of righteousness. We need that. We certainly need our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. He talks about the helmet of salvation, which protects our minds. Bible even says to hold captive every thought. You better, because there's a real enemy that'll come against you, and he'll attack your mind. By the way, that's where the battle is. You know, the devil does not blind our eyes. He blinds our mind. How do we know? 2 Corinthians 4. Verse number 3 said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid unto them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. You see, the devil does not blind our eyes, but he'll blind your mind. That's why you need the helmet of salvation. We also know he talks about the sword of the Spirit, one of our offensive weapons, which is the Word of God. That was interpreted. The Lord interpreted it here in verse number 17. You don't have to speculate what the sword of the Spirit is, because it's referred to as the Word of God. You better let the Word of God get in you so you can survive in life. But I overlooked one verse in particular in verse number 16, and that's where I want to focus. The Lord sort of dialed my number this week as I was going back through this. I was actually working on another message, and the Lord sort of directed my heart here, and I couldn't get away from it, Brother Kevin, when I think about what it said in verse number 16. He said, above all. Now, when he said above all, that means you better pay attention. Now, he talks about have our feet shod with the preparation of God's peace. We've got to have our loins girded about with truth, the breastplate of righteousness. We've got the sword of Spirit. Then he talks about prayer. That's another weapon that we have. He talks about the helmet of salvation. But he said in verse 16, above all. That means we better pay attention to what he's getting ready to say. He said above all in verse 16, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. He said above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. That shield of faith, Brother Kevin, is very, very, very important. Why? Because those darts come. It's interesting, Brother Lynn, as you study the Bible, it's important for every word and even every letter is important. Brother Evan, it didn't say the fiery dart of the wicked, did it? Dart is singular. That means one. He said the fiery darts, Brother Randy, which is plural. That means more than one are coming our way, Brother Randy. Those fiery darts will come against us. But God has given us a battle plan. He's given us a plan where we can be successful. He gives us an idea that the attack is coming. And by the way, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We read that in verse number 12. A lot of folks say, well, you know, such and such is my enemy. This is my enemy. No, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual powers. We think about that. That's what the Scripture said. So there's no battle between me and Sister Debbie. It's not flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle in which we face. But God has given us everything we need for us to be successful in life, in the Christian life. But we've got to put it on. We've got to take that shield of faith, because we understand that those darts, plural, are coming. There's numerous things that God says in the Word of God where I believe we could liken unto darts that come our way. And it wasn't just regular darts. It was fiery darts. And those shields, of course, the Romans would understand and the Ephesians would understand what the Apostle Paul was talking to them about during that day. The Romans would have these shields, and it would be covered with leather, and sometimes they would soak that in waters. They would go out in the battlefield. There would be these arrows that would have a flaming fire on the end of it. And as the enemy would shoot those darts, they would hold up those shields, and those shields covered with that wet leather would absorb and would quench out that fire. Now, if they didn't have that, that arrow could stick in them, and it would be a fire that they didn't want to feel. It would start a different kind of fire that they didn't need in their life. It called hurt. Certainly would hurt them, and it would harm them if they didn't have that armor of the shield of faith. Now, when we think about faith, faith is the backbone of everything we have when it comes to our relationship with God. We call Hebrews 11 the hall of faith. And, of course, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, you better get it. The Bible said over there, Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Faith is absolutely essential for a person to be saved. How do we know? Ephesians 2, verse number 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. If you think you're going to work your way into heaven, if you think your good's going to outweigh your bad, friend, you'll be greatly mistaken. One day, when you close your eyes in death over here, you'll be just like that rich man in Luke chapter number 16 that opened his eyes in hell. But all that can be avoided, all by turning from your sin and by faith trusting in the finished work of the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody says, well, wait a minute, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I'm glad the blood of Jesus is sufficient enough to save you from not just part of your sin, but from all of your sin. But that faith is absolutely essential. It is critical for us in life because these fiery, not dart, but darts come our way. What are some darts that Satan shoots against us that we better make sure we arm ourselves with the shield of faith? He said, above all, taking the shield of faith. There's some things we better be able to absorb with this shield of faith because he's going to fire those fiery darts at us. And again, if we don't absorb it, if we don't quench that fire with that shield of faith, it'll start a fire in your world that you don't need. What are these fiery darts that the enemy will send against us? Well, there's several of them. They all start with D, but this is where the Lord has placed my heart for this hour on Mother's Day 2023, but you better get it. These fiery darts come our way. Well, what are some darts that he fires against us that we better be able to quench with the shield of faith? Number one, think about the fiery dart of disease. Did you know the enemy will send these fiery darts of disease? Oh, yeah. He's got limited authority, but he does. Satan does. He's got some authority. In John's gospel, three times, Satan is referred to as the prince of this world. Now, prince is someone that has been given authority over this world. But boy, this is encouraging, Brother Kevin. Nothing can come to me that don't first go through the hands of God. But these darts of disease will come our way. Well, what are you talking about, preacher? Go back into the Old Testament to Job chapter number 2. In verse number 6, we think about Job, and God is having a discussion with Satan, and they're talking about Job. And in Job chapter 2, in verse number 6, and the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? In all this did not Job sin with his lips. But he was smitten by Satan with these sore boils from the sole of his foot into his crown. In other words, from the top of his head to the bottom of his feet, he was smitten with these sore boils. Where did it originate? Where did it come from? There was a fiery dart that had came from the enemy, and he dealt with disease. Where it talks about in that verse there, where he talks about the potsherd, that's a broken piece of pottery. The reason he did it, the Bible lets us know, to scrape himself with all. These things evidently were itching. I can just imagine if it was anything like shingles. Lord, help us, man. That's bad. I can say that from a personal level. But he took this to scrape. But that disease come his way. Well, how in the world did he overcome that disease? I tell you how he did. He did it by faith. All the world around him pretty much said, give up on God. Even his wife said, man, you still retain your integrity. Just curse God and die. But Job never sinned, Brother Randy, with his lips. How in the world did God's people get through diseases? How you get through cancer? Hey, get through dementia. Hey, get through Alzheimer's. Hey, get through all these things that come our way. And listen, it's not a matter of if they come, but when they do come our way, because they will at some point or the other. If you live long enough, there's an appointment you're going to keep. Old disease is going to come driving down your road. It's going to knock on your door. It's going to come through your door. It's going to sit down in your recliner. It's going to lay down in the bed with you. It's going to wake up with you in the morning. And you better, above all, take the shield of faith, because these old fiery darts are coming against you. And if you don't believe God, if you don't trust God through all this stuff, man, it'll give you a fire that you don't want to feel. But he'll send disease. Not only will he give you the fiery dart of disease, he'll also send discouragement. Boy, the enemy, the devil, is the master, Brother Evan, of discouragement. You go back into 1 Samuel chapter number 30. I love to look at the accounts of David as he goes out in the military excursions and battles. And he was out on the battlefield with his mighty men, and they had been gone for a while. And the Amalekites came. And what they did, they sacked the city of Ziklag, Ziklag, and they burned it with fire. And they took all the children and all the wives captive, and they left. Well, David and his men came back on the scene, and as they entered into Ziklag, they seen that the city was burned. Well, you can imagine the morale of the people. David, his wife, was even taken. Think about their children and their wives have been gone. And the Bible said in 1 Samuel 30, verse number 6, and David was greatly distressed. Why? For the people had spake of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But here it is. But David encouraged himself in the Lord. There's times when all you can do is encourage yourself in the Lord. When you look around and you see the discouragement factor that comes, David feels like he's all alone. Yeah, he's a man after God's own heart. He's the leader of the nation of Israel. He is the captain in charge of God's army. And yet here he is, people talking about stoning. David feels like he's all by himself. His wife's been taken, his children, his family has been taken from him by the enemy, the Amalekites. And he is distressed and he's discouraged, but he found encouragement in the Lord. You know what? You ain't got to look far. You ain't got to look far at all. Some of you probably walked in here today and you're discouraged. You might have a smile on your face. You might put on your Sunday best, but deep down inside you don't have any joy. It's been zapped. You're distressed. You're discouraged. You're defeated. You're depressed. You're dealing with stuff that's out of this world. Well, I'll tell you this. If you don't trust the Lord, if you don't take that shield of faith, that old discouragement will come and it'll suck the spiritual vitality out of you. It'll be just like that old tick that hops up on you and sucks the blood out of you, and like a flea that'll get on you and suck the blood out of you. Friend, I'm telling you, if you don't use that shield of faith, the discouragement factor will come and it'll give you a fire that you don't want to feel. But you can quench those fires with faith. Well, will it get better, preacher? I can tell you this, you got to believe him. You got to trust him. Amen. Because discouraging times will come. You think about some of the great, the choice of servants in the Bible. You go to 1 Kings chapter number 18. You remember that great competition where Elijah called down fire from heaven? And you say, man, what a victory that was. Boy, God showed himself, and Elijah was faced 850-1 odds. Because you count the prophets of the groves and the prophets of Baal, there's 850, and Elijah was by himself. And yet God sent the fire down from heaven, and Elijah got the victory. And you say, man, boy, that's a wonderful chapter, chapter number 18. Well, by the time you get to chapter number 19, old Jezebel came on the scene. And she said, I just want you to know, Elijah, by this time tomorrow, you're going to be just like my prophets that you had slain, you had killed, and I'm going to kill you. Now, here was a man, Elijah, in chapter number 18 that stood against 850, but he let one woman put him on the run. Now, that's Bible. That's the truth. That's the Bible. He ran with his servant, and he left his servant, and in 1 Kings 19, verse number 4, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree, and he requested himself that he might die and said, it is enough now, O Lord, take away my life. Listen, for I am not better than my fathers. That's what Elijah said. Looks like a different man in chapter 19 than it did in chapter 18. What happened? He's facing discouragement. He's exhausted by that great victory in chapter 18. And sometimes our greatest vulnerability comes right after a great victory. He had a great victory, and here he is. He's defeated. He's discouraged. And here he's sitting underneath a tree, and he's ready to die. Well, preacher, how'd he get through that? Well, you read on a little bit later, God sent an angel in strength. I'm glad God will send somebody by that'll help you. But here's what you and I got to do. They may not be nobody show up, but I'm tell you this, God will show up in your darkest hour if you'll let him. And you better take that shield of faith, and you better quench the fiery darts of the wicked, because, friend, that dart ain't coming, but the darts are coming. If disease won't get you, he'll come after you with discouragement. And if that won't get you, he'll use doubt. One of the greatest tools of the devil, Brother Evan, is doubt. D-O-U-B-T, doubt. Doubting the power of God. Doubting the presence of God. Doubting the provisions and the promises of God. It's been Satan's lie ever since the beginning. You'll find it in Genesis chapter number 3 with the fall of mankind. Yea, hath God said. He starts with doubt. He hadn't changed his tactics, by the way, through the years. He still does some of the same old stuff. But this doubt is one of these darts that'll come against us. And if we don't extinguish and quench that thing, man, it'll give you fire that you don't want in your life. When you think about doubt, you can go to Mark's Gospel, chapter number 11. And, of course, the context of that, Jesus, the day before, has just cursed this fig tree. And they come by the next morning, and the fig tree's dried up from its roots. And Peter begins to see that. So he asked Jesus about it. And the Bible said in Mark chapter 11, verse number 22, and Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God, for verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever ye desire, when ye pray, believe that ye shall receive them, and ye shall have them. But did you get what Jesus said? Jesus said, you can say unto this mountain. What is this mountain in your life? What is this mountain in my life? Listen, he said, you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea. But you got to believe, you got to remove that doubt out of your heart. I wonder how many people be serving God today, but they say, well, I can't. Can't, never could do nothing, by the way. But can I remind you again, Philippians 4:13 still said, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. The enemy will come against you with doubt. He'll get you to doubt in the Word of God, the promises of God, the goodness of God. He'll give you the mully grubs if you'll let him. You say, what's that? Well, you ever seen anybody grab a hold of an old persimmon that's not ripe? I got Garrett when he was a little kid. I think I told y'all that. We was dove hunting one day. He's probably, I don't know, 12, 13 years old. And went up underneath some bushes, and we was in the back of the truck. We was riding somebody else's. And some persimmons fell in the back. And he said, what's that? I said, it's a persimmon. He said, well, can you eat it? I said, yeah, you can eat them. You said, surely you wouldn't do that. Well, I did. I let him. It was green as a gourd. He got that thing in his mouth, and he made the awfulest face you ever seen. He did, awful, bitter. But you know what? We laugh about that, but the devil will do the same thing to us. And we'll get bitter, and we'll get the old poochy lip. Me and Gracie, we'll talk about the poochy lip. She'll probably say poochy lip now. She listens all the time. But you get the poochy lip, you pooch that lip out. What happens? Well, sometimes we do that when we doubt God. Those arrows come our way. What's that mountain that you're facing? What's that mountain that I'm facing? Listen, God's big enough. Hey, man, the devil said, well, you just going to have to learn to live with. There's some things we may have to live with, but I can tell you this, I still believe in the power of God. I'm glad God can do the impossible. He can still do the incredible. If I ever quit believing that, man, I ought to quit preaching, because understand, the enemy will come with that old fiery dart. And he said, above all, take the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. James put it this way, James chapter 1, verse number 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. They give it to all men liberally, and abradeth not. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. What's the gist of that, preacher? When you come to God and you bring those petitions, don't think, well, you bring a prayer request unto the Lord. Don't have this mindset. Well, God, will you do this, but you really don't believe God can do that? You might as well not even pray. Don't doubt the Lord, but the devil will throw that seed of doubt in your mind. But listen, get that doubt out of your heart. What's that mountain? What's that big thing? If I could give you an index card and you could write down your greatest need, I'm here to tell you, on the authority of the Word of God, if it's the will of God, God is able to do that. Of course, Ephesians 3 and verse number 20 said, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can even ask or think. But the devil will say, well, God can't do that. Or he'll even say that, well, God don't love you, or you wouldn't be going through this. Don't tell me that don't happen, because the devil does that. And that's that doubt. That's why, above all, you better take the shield of faith. We got to move on. What are these darts? These fiery darts, not darts singular, but darts plural, that the enemy, sometimes he'll use disease. Just look at Job. Job was smitten. Why? Because the devil had stuck him. But Job used that shield of faith. His family, his wife said, just give up on God. His friends, give up on God. But Job stayed faithful, and he stayed the course. Think about the discouragement that David faced, and Elijah, and think about Peter and the New Testament apostle Stephen and some of the deacons there in Acts chapter number 6. We think about some of the things that they faced. How in the world did they overcome? Above all, taking the shield of faith. But see, he'll use that discouragement. He'll use that disease. He'll use that doubt. But he'll also use division. He'll use division. What are you talking about, preacher? Well, in Matthew chapter number 12, Jesus has just healed a man that was blind and dumb, the Bible said. He was possessed with the devil, and he cast out that devil. And the Pharisees, in the preceding verses of Matthew chapter 12, verse number 24, the Pharisees said, well, you know, he cast out these devils by Beelzebub, the prince of devils. But Jesus gave an interesting principle here that we better get. In Matthew chapter 12, verse number 25, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. There's division. And division, where things are divided, it shall not. I don't care if it's at your house. I don't care if it's at the house of God. It may in a business, it makes no difference. A house divided in a kingdom, in a city, in a house, or anywhere else, if it is divided, it shall not stand. Don't you know our enemy knows that? Don't your enemy know that? If there's anything the devil would love to do, listen to me, husbands and wives. He'd love to stick an arrow in you to cause division in your house. Amen. Thank you for the two amens. If there's anything the devil can do, he'll stick an arrow in you, the wife. He'll stick an arrow in you, the husband. Why? Because he knows that principle. Every kingdom, every house, every city, every church, every family divided against itself shall not stand. That's why you better, above all, take the shield of faith. Because the Lord lets us know in Psalm 133 and verse number 1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. There's something about unity. There's something about harmony. You can get things done. But when that division comes, you better put up the shield of faith. So what are these darts that the enemy will come and use against us? He'll use disease, according to the Bible. He will use discouragement. You better mark that up. Some of you probably won't. No doubt in my mind, the amount of people we got is somebody's discouraged. You might have a smile on your face, but we can't see into your soul. But inside, you're hurting, you're distressed, you're defeated, you're depressed, and you're discouraged. And you're going through that because you hadn't trusted God in a certain area in your life. But think about this. Think about the doubts that come our way. Think about the division. But there's another one. Think about devouring. That is a arrow that he'll shoot at. What are you talking about devouring? Well, we call it something, Brother Randy, and y'all might and might not get this, but I'm going to give you the Yadkin County slang term for it. There's something called spiritual cannibalism. Yep. You say, spiritual cannibalism? What's that? Well, cannibalism is when you eat one another. You say, well, I ain't never heard of spiritual cannibalism. Well, I bet you've heard of this. It's called gossip. What is gossip, preacher? That's spiritual cannibalism. It's where you eat one another. It's where you devour one another. Well, where does that come from? I can tell you now, it don't come from God.
That's right. Amen.
Well, how in the world can I get some resistance against it? Above all, you better take the shield of faith. You better believe God. God said it was wrong to do that. Amen. But he'll send that old devouring dart. Galatians chapter number 5 and verse number 13 said, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Listen, but if you bite and devour one another, take heed that you be not consumed one of another. What is that? That's spiritual cannibalism. That's what gossip is in Yadkin County slang in English. Some folks have a problem with that. Why they have a problem with that? Because they're not believing God. They believe it's okay to talk about other people. You say, oh, I would never talk about King Jesus, but you don't have a problem talking about his youngins. What's that, preacher? That's sin.
That's right.
And that old devouring arrow, some of you got a problem with that because you hadn't took the shield of faith. You enjoy that. It appeals to your flesh. It makes you feel better when you're talking about somebody else because you forget about all your faults when you're looking at somebody else. Hey, listen, man, you can come to the house of God. I promise you this. You can find fault with a preacher. You can find fault with the deacons. You can find fault with individuals here. You can find fault with a lot of things. But listen, I guarantee you, honey, if we looked at you, we wouldn't need a magnifying glass to find some fault in you. But listen, I'm glad you can't find no fault in the Son of God. You can't find no fault in the Word of God. You can't find any fault with the plan of salvation. But understand this, the old devil will shoot you with a devouring arrow. And if you don't put up the shield of faith, you'll give into that stuff and you'll be doing it.
Amen.
That's a dart. You better take it. We're almost done. You think about this now. These fiery darts of the wicked, this arrow is coming. How in the world am I going to extinguish that flame? Well, those arrows are coming of disease and discouragement and doubt and division and devouring, but also he'll use deception. One of his tools from the very beginning is to deceive. Deception. Listen to Jesus' stern and solemn warning in Matthew 24, verse number 4. He said, take heed that no man deceive you. Now, why would Jesus tell us that, Brother Randy? He knew deception would be there. Take heed. You better stay alert. You better take that shield of faith because that old fiery arrow is coming. It's going to start a fire in you that you don't want and you don't need. I think about 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 1. It said, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirit whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. We better try them. Why? Because deception's on every hand. It's amazing in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 8. Now listen carefully. He said, If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and the truth is not in us. Now, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? That 1 John was written unto believers. But here's what people will do if you're not careful. Now stay with me now. Don't you miss what the preacher's getting ready to say. A lot of times, God's people will get to dabbling in sin, and they've been deceived. The devil says, well, it's okay. It's all right. It ain't that bad. And what happens? You have fire from another world that starts inside of you. And it ain't going to be long, man. It's going to turn your world upside down. Because you've been deceived by the devil. First of all, listen, if you're here today and you've never been saved, the devil will say, well, listen, you really don't need God. You're just as good as somebody, and you're just as good. That's what the devil will say. But friend, that's the wrong measurement, man. When we come to measuring up to God's Word, friend, every one of us falls short every day. In Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 3:10 said, there's none righteous, no, not one. He didn't make exception for me. Are you? A lot of times you get to dabble in sin, and the devil, he'll say, well, it really ain't that bad. Why does he do that? Because that's deception. Well, listen, if we say we have not sinned, we make God a liar. His word's not in us. The truth's not in us. We just need to call it what God calls it, and it's sin. Well, how in the world am I going to overcome this deception? You better do it with a shield of faith and believe what God said. You know, several years ago, Sister Savannah comes. It's been a long time ago. You know, men do stupid things, and I shouldn't say. Men do crazy. Men do bad things. Ignorant things. How about that? Is that better? Men do ignorant things such as, and this really don't have anything to do, but I'm going to say this. Man, it's unbelievable. As much as fertilizer is, Brother Kevin, we fertilize our yard. We spray our yard. And listen, once after you put the granular out there, then I had the bright idea to put liquid fertilizer on it. And once you do that, oh, yeah, the yard looks good. But you go mow yourself to death. All that, it's just crazy. You know, I think we'd be better off if we just spread it with Roundup and got some green paint and painted. You wouldn't have to worry about it anymore. Yeah? And ain't none of us going to do that, but I'm just saying. We do some crazy things. But when I was about 16 years old, now stay with me right here now. When I was about 16 years old, I was over on the back side of our house over there off of Holly Springs Road. There was old clover field over there, and there's a groundhog that just kept harassing me. Never could catch him. Brother Rodney, I'd go over there, and I'd see his head pop up, and he'd go down. I'd sit for 2 hours, and he'd never show back up. You'd pull in. It's like he could feel the gravel coming down the road. He knew somebody was there. And And he never would come out. Finally, one day, I'd sit there for 2 or 3 hours. This is the middle of the summer. Imagine it's hot, pretty dry, in a clover field. I seen that dude go in the hole, and I waited about 45 minutes. And I thought, man, I want to kill that thing so bad. Now, listen, just stay with me. If you love animals, I do too, but just hang on. I thought, man, I'm going to fix this dude. So I had some weed eater gas in the back of the truck. I'm going somewhere with this, by the way, so hang with me. So I got the dumb, I mean ignorant things that we do. I encourage you, don't ever do what I'm getting ready to tell you I did. That's why I'm saying it's 16 years old. And I took the gas and I went over and I said, I'm going to fix that dude. I poured that gas down that hole. And I thought, man, well, I got to get a match. So I went and got a match. Come back. I didn't think about staying too close or anything. I threw that match down in that hole. And it took it just, it wasn't instant. It wasn't an instant thing. It was like, poof. And I mean, it's a good thing it didn't come out this way. I didn't know there was another hole down below. But as soon as I lit that, all them vapors, it blew the groundhog out of the hole on the other side. And he's on fire. Son, I'm telling you, the PETA would have put me under the jailhouse for all that. It's been a long time ago. I think we've went past the age or the time of where you can be convicted of it. But that groundhog was on fire. It's dry. And he's caught the clover field on fire. So thank goodness they wouldn't the true story. There's a pond down there, and I run down with a bucket. And man, I wasn't just walking around like he is. Son, I was running. I run all the way down there, Brother Kevin. I'd get water and I'd bring it back and I was throwing out that fire. I'd go back, get water, and I'd throw out that fire. Why? It was imperative and it was essential that I put that fire out. Right. Why? Because it was going to cause a lot more damage if I didn't put that fire out. Can I tell you this, back to these fiery darts that come. It's imperative, it's essential that we quench those fiery darts of disease. You better trust God. That discouragement that comes your way, you better quench it. And don't be slow in doing it. You better run and get that thing extinguished. Listen, you can run to me, but I'm limited what I can do. But oh, listen, if you'll run to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and the Bible still said in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him for He careth you. Some of you walked in here today, you're defeated, you're discouraged, you're depressed, and you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. I tell you, turn to Jesus and He'll be enough. You'll have to say like the psalmist did in Psalm 38, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. If you ever get a taste of Him, you'll agree that He's not just enough. He's more than enough. But that disease comes. That discouragement comes. That doubt comes. Those divisions come. That devouring. You want to talk about somebody else, you're going to have to believe God. But that deception, oh, it's really not that bad. No, it's bad, friend. You got to come to God. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you should be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Don't just slowly move. Run. It's imperative because that fire is burning. You got to quench it. You got to get it out. You got to bring it to the source, the one that can. And I'm glad He can when you and I can't. As we stand all over the house this morning, let's pray. Father, I love You. Lord, I thank You for the opportunity, Lord, to share Your word today. God, I've done my best to empty myself of the message of the hour. I pray for that. And they may have walked in here today, maybe unsaved. They've never trusted Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that today would be the day that they get saved. I know there's another dart that'll come. The enemy will try to keep them in their seat. Tell them that they can't be forgiven. But Lord, I'm glad that You can. Somebody's dealing with some disease today, Lord. It needs the help from another world. Somebody's dealing with discouragement. Somebody's probably depressed. They may have a smile on their face, but they're hurting inside. God helped them to come. God, today by faith, trust You. Somebody's doubting, Lord, what You can do, God, today. Somebody's been divided. Maybe a house, maybe a husband and a wife, maybe a father, maybe a son, maybe a mother, maybe a daughter. There's a relationship that's been divided. Somebody needs to trust You today, Lord. Somebody's been devouring. Somebody's been biting one another. That spiritual cannibalism, God helped them to see. They don't have to do that. But I pray most of all, Lord, for that one that's been deceived. They're dabbling in sin. Maybe nobody else knows about it, but You know about it, God. The devil's told them it's okay. Father, help them above all to take that shield of faith. Would You save somebody today? Would You help somebody today do what only You can do? And God, we'll be careful to praise You, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Many heads are bowed and eyes are closed while folks pray.
Hello, friends. This is Brian Poindexter, the pastor of Faith Community Baptist Church, located at 2216 Hennings Road in East Bend, North Carolina. We're so grateful to have you listening to our CD ministry that's been provided as an outreach of our church. It's our desire and focus at Faith Community Baptist Church to preach and teach the whole counsel of God to a lost and dying world, to equip the saints of God for service, and to encourage the elderly and shut-ins who cannot attend services due to physical ailments. We meet every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. for Sunday school for all ages, and our Sunday school hour is followed by our worship service at 11 a.m. with old-fashioned singing and preaching from the Word of God. We meet back every Sunday night at 6 p.m. for our worship service, and every second Sunday night of each month we have what's called an eat and meet service. After our 6 p.m. service, we gather in the fellowship hall for food and fellowship. On Wednesdays, we meet back at the church for our midweek worship service with choir singing and preaching again from God's holy word. Our ladies prepare a meal each Wednesday prior to our service from 5:30 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. I give you and your family a cordial invitation to be with us at any or all of our service times. Above all, you may be listening today, and maybe you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. Friend, that's the greatest decision anyone can ever make in this life. Too many folks prepare for vacation, they prepare for retirement, they seem to prepare for everything, but sad to say, many make no preparations for eternity. The reality is very clear. We all will leave this world someday, for the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. You must understand that you are guilty before a holy God." Romans 3:23 said, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The prophet Isaiah said in chapter 53 and verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." You must understand that your good words and good works and good deeds will not get you to heaven. Isaiah 64 and verse 6 says, "But we are all as an unclean thing. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Ephesians chapter 2, the Bible said, "Therefore by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You must understand that you're loved. I'm thankful that in John 3 and verse 16, it said, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Romans 5 and verse 8 declares, "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." You must understand and realize there's only one way to stand right before God. There's not many ways, there's only one. Jesus said in John 14 and verse number 6, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, the apostles' message was very simple. There in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 12, they said, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You might ask the question, "Preacher, how can I be saved?" That's what the Philippian jailer asked in Acts chapter 16, verse 30 and 31. He asked Paul and Silas, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house." Romans 10:9 said that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You must ask God to save you. I can't do it. No one can do it for you. Romans 10:13 said, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know you're a sinner, and if you're sorry for your sin, and you believe Jesus died for your sins, you simply have to ask him to save you. You might say, "Preacher, how can I know for sure God will hear me?" But first of all, the Bible tells us that we must be drawn. John 6 and verse 44, Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." Psalm 51 and verse 17 gives us the attitude we need to have when we come to God. It said there, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise." If God draws you by conviction, if you're sorry for your sin, you repent of them. If you believe Jesus died for your sins, and if you asked him to save you, then the Bible declares you've been saved. If you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you've been forgiven of all your sin. Romans 8:1 declares, there is therefore now no condemnation of them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Once a person has been saved, they need to be a part of a fundamental Bible-believing church where they can grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ. God calls us out of darkness and commands us to walk in light after we've been saved by His marvelous grace. If we can help you here at Faith Community Baptist Church in any way, feel free to contact us. If you have asked God to save you, please contact us, and we will send you some free literature to help you in your newfound life in Christ. Thank you again for listening to our CD ministry that's been provided by our church here, and may God richly bless you and your family is our prayer.